For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Emily Kinney is an actress. In my mind, she's 15 years old.
Right, yeah, it does seem like that.
How old was she supposed to be in The Walking Dead? Is she here? Is she ready to go?
Yeah.
Can we bring her in? Let's bring her in. Let's ask. Why I'm asking you the questions. She's also an accomplished musician, and she will be at the Murray Theater at Ruth Eckert Hall tonight, where you'll be able to go see her. I would imagine a majority of the people going there are going to be Walking Dead fans, but that's good. You can use that popularity to expose that audience to your music, and she'll gain a lot of fans.
She was introduced as the 16-year-old sister of Maggie.
So I was right, 16. That's what I seem like. I feel like less of a creep.
And
now,
she was 25 at the time.
You can get her music at emilykinneymusic.com and ruthecardhall.com for more information. There she is, sitting right there, Pumpkin. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
Nice and early in the morning, huh? Yeah. Terrible, right? That's the life of a rock star. You're sitting in your bus outside, where you're like, this is so much better when we were getting catering and all the acting stuff. Hold on, let's let Emily get situated. First of all, I got to tell you, you look pretty good for 8 o'clock in the morning, having slept in a bus all night.
Thank you.
Pull that microphone right down to you. Emily is going to be at the Murray Theater. You can go to RuthEckerHall.com and get all the information and tickets in there.
Yes.
How are you? Very nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Where were you, in Jacksonville last night?
We were in Jacksonville, yes. Very nice.
I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, probably like most of society is today. Not an obsessive fan like a lot of the weirdos who have been contacting me since I announced you would be on the show. But I do have this strange... I have often thought about, like everybody else, how I would survive in that post-apocalyptic world.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled in this morning and saw your bus, and I thought, that's the vehicle to have.
You think so?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it looks destructive, yet it had high windows. Zombies can't climb in windows.
Yeah. You know, the only thing is you have to be very aware of, like, your energy kind of supply, you know, in the post-apocalyptic world.
But see, to me, that there's a couple of things in that show that don't make sense. One is, evidently, when the world ended, nobody had nice cars. You never see a Ferrari rolling through. You never see a Cadillac rolling through. It's always some car with orange doors.
Well...
And
but I mean, it's if you're George, you know, they're just picking up cars they can find.
And, so. Right, but evidently in Georgia, they have terrible cars.
Well, Glenn had the Camaro in the first season too.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not like when they come to on season two, like we're like a farm family. We're not
right.
Like,
it's rural Georgia, so you're probably not going to have a Ferrari. Yeah,
and then like the people they're picking up aren't people that necessarily are like. Loaded or anything.
Well, that's what I'm
and
saying.
And even if they were, they probably left it behind by this point, you know. So
I would find and I would go, hey, look, let's just do a little research. Where was the rich neighborhood? They managed to walk all the way to D.C., but they didn't go through one good neighborhood.
It's
on
not
the way.
Like they were like, hey, I'm going to go to the general store to get some sarsaparilla. Oh, take the Ferrari.
Right. You know? And then the other thing is, I disagree. If there's only a small amount of people left on the earth, you should be able to siphon enough gas out of these cars left on the side of the road.
But it goes bad. Gas goes bad. You know what
it
I mean?
Does?
Yeah, after a few years, gas goes bad. It gets all clumpy.
I was unaware of that.
Okay, so maybe the tour van is the RV, 2V, what we have. We have like this RV van thing.
How many people are in there?
There's 6 of us.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And is it comfortable? What do you sleep on? Shelves? Like those
Yeah, they're
bunk
like little
bed?
Bunks. Yeah.
I gotcha. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's fun. It's cool.
Who do you travel with? You got a big band or is that all?
Yeah, it's there's 4 of us in my band.
Uh-huh.
And then there's my tour manager, Darren. And then the guy who opens for us, Jacob, he...
you let him in the van? You should make him sleep
share.
In the equipment thing.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, haul him to the
gigs.
Yeah,
you're the opener. You got... Yeah, that's... That'd be good of... That'd be nice.
if he's even...
He's like, he even gets a ride in my van. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
If he's in the vehicle, he should be, at least be driving. cleaning.
Yeah,
or he cleans up. We should have put him to work. You're right. What was I thinking? But yeah, and Jacob is pretty awesome, and he's in there too with us. We figured that'd be the easiest.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I'm sure you get this a lot, but I just assumed you were 15 years old. When they were like, the girl from The Walking Dead is coming through town, and I go, the little kid.
I know.
You do that, you pull it off really good. No wonder why all the creeps like you so much.
I don't know. I guess I'm just immature. I refuse to grow up. It's so weird. I feel like when I was little, I was like, oh, God, I just want to get out of Nebraska. Like, I want to be an adult. Like, I want to do my own thing. And then it's like, then when I became an adult, then I suddenly, like, I was stunted.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, can't seem to get out of, like.
Don't rush it. How old are you now?
I don't know if I want to. I'm 30.
Yeah, that's good. You're right. At 30, when you're a woman and you're 30, you don't want to get any older.
You don't?
No.
Oh, really?
Guys were fine.
Is that bad?
Not bad.
To be over 30?
It's not fun for you after.
It's not fun?
It's all downhill for women after 30.
We got a lot of bad news for you.
You're going to get itch. I really don't think that's true, actually.
Katie knows. Katie will tell you. Look, Katie, miserable, right?
I actually really disagree with you. I have like dreams of like, I can't wait to get older and play. Like, my dream is that like, if I am lucky enough to live that long, to like be like a little old lady in New York City, like doing plays. Like, I want to be like on Broadway when I'm 80, like running around stage.
You're still going to look 20 when you're 80.
Yeah. I'm still going to be really immature.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't understand. I was fortunate enough where I've always been very immature, and I don't have to have a job where I have to be mature. So it worked out for me. But for like real people with real jobs, I always wonder how that works out. Like, if you were tomorrow to decide to be like, I want to be an accountant, you'd be the most immature accountant.
Yeah, maybe so.
What do you do? What do you do?
I feel like I can turn on the. I mean, you do have to be. It's like running a small business, being a musician. Actually,
yeah, you have to
and
be serious.
So is acting
a lot.
So there are. I can turn on the. Okay. And every once in a while, I'll be like, whoa, I guess a lot has happened. I guess I am 30. You know what I mean? I'll be like, just the other day, I was like, whoa, all these different little chapters, especially when you're an actor, a singer, like lots of little jobs and little gigs.
That's a good reality.
And you're sort of like, whoa, I guess a lot has happened.
Yeah, most people at 30 are like, what am I doing in my life? You're like, I've done a lot of stuff by the time I was 30.
I mean, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I moved to New York City when I was 19, so.
From Nebraska? 20.
Yeah.
By yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you live?
Well, first, I did like this program at NYU. I didn't stay at NYU, though.
Okay.
I ended up going to auditions and getting a play, and then the play was over. It was kind of like a back and forth thing. And then the play was over, I was broke, I moved back to Nebraska. But at first, I lived in the financial district on Water Street. And then, but my very first, like, for real apartment, I guess, where I wasn't just, like, crashing with people, was in Brooklyn off the Lorimer stop. In Williamsburg.
So you made it. I mean, you moved from Nebraska to New York by yourself at a young age. You're in a play, and you're having a decent apartment. That's making it in New York.
I mean, I was having a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember working at like a coffee shop. I mean, now so many cool things have happened, but I specifically remember a walk from like my I used to work at this really great little coffee shop in the neighborhood close to my apartment. And I remember getting done with work and walking to play rehearsal.
Right.
I was just doing this off-Broadway play and being like, oh my God, I've already gotten my dream.
I'm
working at this cool coffee shop. I'm going to my play rehearsal. I was like, okay, this is good.
That's
great
awesome.
Life,
you know how many people just get to go to the coffee shop and they don't get to walk to play practice? That's fantastic.
The funny thing about that is you know that there was a guy that came in there and liked you and was like, I like that girl. She's very pretty. She serves me the coffee. Years later, he sees you on The Walking Dead and he's like, oh,
Coffee girl,
God,
coffee girl, yeah. That what was the play? What was the first play?
My very first play in New York City was Midsummer Night's Dream, and I played Hermia. And we would rehearse in the city and then take the train out to Connecticut. So it was actually like more of like a regional theater. We would just go out every night
as a group, do
the play. It was like this big outdoor theater.
Right.
It was pretty awesome.
What was your first good paying gig?
Good paying
in New York.
Gig. I mean, it took a while before anything paid very much with acting, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I would get a job, but I would keep my other gigs because, you know, even if you get like a little bump.
Right,
money,
you still.
I don't know if you're. I started working on Broadway in Spring Awakening, and I feel like that's when I was sort of like, oh, I'll stop, you know, like.
The coffee shop.
Coffee shop. Yeah. Or like I also would. Or, well, I stopped the coffee shop when I worked on an off-Broadway play called Iphigenia 2.0, and it was at Signature Theater. But I still kept doing, like, little odd jobs.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess that was probably it. Spring Awakening on Broadway.
That's
kind of my first.
And what is your first movie or TV thing that you get?
My first TV thing was Law and Order.
Of course, if you're newer.
Criminal Intent. Do you know that comedian Mo Rocca?
Yeah.
He played my brother. It was like a big guest star. Like, I got to be in like a bunch of scenes, and they were like investigating his murder. So that was like my first like really good TV.
Did you kill him?
No. But I helped them figure out, you know.
And
we found out that like this guy like came after me and blah, 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 all this stuff. So it was very
exciting. And that's got to be exciting. So now you're went from the coffee shop to the play to the TV. Mm-hmm. And then what's the first big break? Take me down the road. What comes after that?
Oh my gosh. Well, after that I started doing like lots of guest stars and lots of plays.
Right.
And I did a big play around the whole U.S. called August Osage County. That's one of my favorite parts.
Sure,
of
I mean, that was nominated last year, wasn't it? Okay.
Yeah, that was a good one. What else? Yeah, and then after that play, I did some other guest stars. Like I did The Big C, and then I got Walking Dead, and that.
So where do you audition for Walking Dead? Is that a New York thing?
New York. Yeah, I auditioned for that in New York.
Did you know what it was?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah. I mean, I knew of like the graphic novels.
Yeah.
And I knew that they had done like a first season, and people like friends of mine were talking about it and like, oh, I gotta see that sometime. But I had actually not seen it when I auditioned for it, but I knew Frank Darabont was working on it, and I was like, oh
yeah,
I really
yeah.
wanted
I'll
to
get
work
you.
With him. And yeah, and I just thought the scenes were really cool that we got to audition with, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be cool. And then I ended up getting it, but I didn't know it was gonna be like 4 years of my life, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be like recurring, like maybe I'd do like five episodes or something.
And that's good money, right? Walking Dead money?
I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
It's better than
we were trying to figure
shop,
out.
Yeah. You know, like, so, like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm good, you know.
Well, all right. So you do. So now we were saying earlier that if you
like the whole journey of my
of your finances, we should ask you to bring that Social Security thing in where they tell you how much you made every year in your whole life.
I don't think. What?
Go ahead, say it. What, you know what?
No, nothing.
Okay, all
right. Sorry, I'm like, I'm still like, I literally like rolled out of the bus like we stopped at this station.
Yeah.
And then I like put on this shirt and like put on some eyeliner and then like came in.
Trust me, I get it.
So I'm like, I'm still like, my mouth is still like warming up.
Uh-huh. Basically, what Carmen does every
say
morning.
Say words, you know.
Some like guy just drops
words.
Her off.
Like, this my is, brain and my mouth and everything's still working.
This is Emily Kinney from, you know her from The Walking Dead. She's also a musician. Which, how long until they started having you sing? Was that part of your character,
well,
or did they say, hey, she can sing? We should work that in.
Yeah, well, you know, I was always like playing club shows around New York. Like even when I first moved there, I would sing backup for people, and I've always written like poetry and stuff like that. And actually, before they cast me on The Walking Dead, I had just finished my first EP.
Uh-huh.
So that came out literally. Like, I remember getting them and them being shipped to me like the week that I was going down to Georgia to start work. So
that's when you had to be like, I've been in Broadway plays. I have an album out, and I'm going to do a TV show. You must have been on top of the world. That's got to be the greatest feeling ever.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, like it's pretty fun, you know? Like when your job is something you really like doing.
Sure, and
it's
you're
great.
Having great success at it.
Oh, thank you.
Similar to me, when I once had insurance registration and all that stuff paid up the date
right,
on my
yeah.
car, I was like, this is my
I'm an
life.
Adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you go down there. Oh, so what did I ask you? I'm sorry. Did they work that into the thing or do they know?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say like, so between season two and season three, I was doing a lot of club shows like
right.
in LA and New York. And some of the writers had come to see my shows, and I think they knew that if they wanted to work that into season three, they could.
Yeah.
And then they switched showrunners. And I remember it was Glenn Mazzara who called me and said, hey, we're thinking of like, you know, you and Maggie singing around a campfire and maybe working that into your character. And then it became, yeah, just a thing that Beth did was that she sang. And that was kind of their connection to their family and their life, the
yeah.
songs that she would sing. And I thought it was really smart because at that point you hadn't gotten to know her that well. And I think it was a way for audiences. I mean, now looking back, I'm like, oh, audiences could be like, okay, there's so many characters. That's the one that sings. And,
right.
You know, and there is something about when you go and see live music or you go and see someone sing, you can feel really connected to them and really close to them without really even knowing them that
sure.
well.
Sure. It actually brought a whole level of humanity back to that show, which you hadn't seen In the first season, they were like, okay, we got to remember that we're dealing with people who had real lives not too long ago.
I think, too, like, they needed a break from, I remember even in that first episode of season three, I remember actually, like, Glenn Mazar saying, like, oh, so much of this episode is just action, 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 like, fighting zombies. But, like, you need those moments of, like, calm and be, like, almost like bored, not boredom, but you know, like where we're just sitting around, like that's what would happen.
Sure. And and in order to ramp up those violent scenes again too, you need to have a calm moment.
Totally.
Show's
totally.
Done very well. I hate Halloween. I don't like zombies. I don't like Walking Day of the Night of the Living Dead and any of that stuff. But I was a latecomer to Walking Dead, and I binge watched the hell out of the first three seasons in my car, mostly sitting in a parking lot waiting for things. And I love that. Those are the better episodes, I think. I don't know. Do you, and I know obviously even if you did, you couldn't talk about it, but do you know as an actor on the show the origin, the ending? Do you guys try to figure that out on your own? Do you?
I mean, sometimes, of course, you can't help but guess. Yeah. But yeah, we don't know. You know, and I know they're not, they're like loosely following things about the comic books. You know, like maybe certain points like Alexandria or like certain locations or certain characters come up that were inspired by the comics. But like my character wasn't in the comic books. Neither was like Daryl.
Right.
So they also try to keep it all a surprise. And so I don't know where it's all leading, you know.
Did that appear to be an awkward relationship to you while you were filming it between Beth and Daryl?
What do you mean?
I don't know. It just seemed like the two unlikely people to be hanging out together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was really, again, like, that was such really smart because I think then we had to, when we were, like, left in that episode, like, stuck together.
Yeah.
And we weren't people that were already close. Like, if I had been with Maggie, it would be like, okay, sis, we're sisters, team, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, you know, but it was sort of, like, pulled different things out of each other. And there were, like, those kind of weird fights and, like, I feel like that was really smart because you got to know these characters on like a very interesting level.
Were they,
when you're around certain people, they pull out sometimes the uncomfortable stuff, you
right,
know, like
sure.
You have friends that bring out this side of you or friends that bring out this side. And I think that having Daryl and Beth, it was like brought out certain things.
I know there was a weird age difference and all that. Well, was there a romance between them or was it more like a brother sister type thing?
You know, it
never
really...
we would talk about that on we'd be like, are they hooking up? What's going on? That'd be so weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they never really made it totally clear with their writing. Like, in that episode, like, there were moments where it was like, oh, there's some sort of, like, special bond going on here.
Yeah.
And definitely that was, like, pointed out, like, holding hands and, you know, that. But they never really completely made a decision about that. And I think that that's part of the tragedy of the show is you're like, wait, is this going to be something? What's going... And then before...
You'll never find out.
You'll never know. Like, you'll never know for sure. So,
I think the turning point for me in that show that really made me appreciate it, and it's what every real good show does now, is killing off main characters. Nobody ever did that before. You'd watch a show for 20 years or, you know, 10 seasons, and it'd be the same characters. During the farm scene seasons, when the little girl went missing and came out as a zombie, you thought, okay, they killed a kid, and the kid's a zombie, and they're like, now we're dealing with a real show here. Those are the farm years were the good years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
that was
so
fun. I mean, I have good memories from filming that stuff.
Did you do conventions yet?
I go to conventions sometimes,
You like that, or does that drive you crazy?
I like going to them. You know, I think the show is kind of heavy, especially when I was filming it. You kind of, like, get in this zone, in this world. It's a very heavy, I mean, you know, my dad's being killed. And I mean, like, it would really wear on you. And I think there was something about going to a convention where people are kind of, like, dressing up these characters. And they'd be like, oh, I just love watching it on Sunday nights. Or me and my friends get together. It brought, like, a lightness to it. Like,
kind
of, like, this isn't real. It's, like, fun. And, I mean, it's not a fun, you know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it was like, oh, It just brings some light to it. I think the conventions are cool. You know, a lot of times, too, a couple times they've brought my band to play, which is really, really
fun.
Oh,
really?
And I think that's cool because sometimes that's a group of people that maybe doesn't go to live music all the time.
Sure.
And so I've had people even say after that, be like, oh, whoa, you know, I don't go out to see a lot of music. I'm going to go to see more music. And then I feel sort of like,
you're changing the lives of nerds everywhere.
I'm go see live music.
That's cool. Have you ever seen anybody dress like Beth?
Oh, yeah.
And like anything crazy? I don't know. I think that would be weird to see people dress as me.
Oh, yeah. I do get a lot of people that, I mean, and especially Halloween this year, people tweet at me a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Dressed up is, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very, like, got to be very flattering.
I mean, it's nice to know something you work on, like, connects with someone that much that they're going to, like, dress up as that character as Halloween. Or, you know, like, I mean, I think it's, like, satisfying. It's nice to know the thing you worked on is has an audience. I feel like a lot of things we work on as actors and musicians, singers, you're working on your stuff in your room by yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, for it to reach an audience, I mean, that's a huge gift. So
I don't ever understand that, and that's probably why I'm not an actor, but we had Matt Damon on the air one time, and he had made this art house movie with Casey Affleck where they just walked around and when they took pictures and stuff, and it was terrible. And we were talking to him about it, and he goes, oh, well, that was just a little art film we made. And I thought, what is the gratification from doing that? You know no one's going to see it, and the handful of people that do are going to be like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Well, there's some freedom in that, too. I suppose at a certain point, you know, there's, you want to, if you know people are going to watch it, there is also some pressure, so that changes the kind of the choices you make as an artist. So I'm sure at some point there's like, you know, I know for me sometimes when I'm writing music, I kind of have to like turn off, like I can't be like, would people like this? You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no,
you kind of
yeah.
have to turn that off and be like, no, just today's a free day, just make whatever I want.
Right.
You know, and like, who cares if people like it or not, or, you know.
That makes
so
sense.
I do feel like there's probably some freedom for him to be like, I'm just going to make this. If it's cool, it's cool. Like, people like it, they do. If they don't, like, I want to
still Matt Damon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, at a certain point, I'm sure you need, like, a little space.
Yeah. This is Emily Kinney. She's going to be at the Murray Theater tonight at Ruth Eckert Hall. You know her from The Walking Dead. The Ruth Eckert Hall box office will sell tickets if you want to go see it. She's got a new album out. The album is called This Is War. It's available now. I listened to a little bit on the internet before, and you can go to emilykinneymusic.com. Now, you're going to do a song when we come back?
Yeah.
Get to hear you do it live. Is your voice all geared up and ready to go?
Yeah, this was good. All this talking warmed up my voice, I think.
We'd let you get a little comfortable first. Then we'll wallop you with the
I don't know if you heard earlier. We were singing. We did karaoke, but you couldn't hear the music. You could only hear our voices, and it was fantastic. So bar has been set,
okay. Yeah, right.
Just so you know.
Well, now I'm nervous.
The bar has been set similar to where if we were strangling cats. You know, that noise.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you're okay. I think somehow you'll be okay. Emily Kinney is here with us. She's going to be at the Murray Theater at Ruth Eckert Hall tonight. You can get tickets at RuthEckertHall.com. You know her from Walking Dead, and she is an accomplished musician who has an album out called This Is War. It's available now wherever you're getting your music from these days. You could also go to EmilyKinneyMusic.com. I've enjoyed having you here today. It was fun talking to you about your career in The Walking Dead. Now we're going to get to hear you sing, which we got a little glimpse of during the commercial break. Very similar to the voice of an angel. Who is your guitar player? Let's introduce him.
This is Adam Tressler.
How you doing, Adam?
And, you can see him. Oh, I don't think he's opening tonight, but open a lot of the shows too. We're playing on tours.
Oh, Adam is the guy who gets to open. We were suggesting they make you sleep in the equipment.
Oh no, that was Jacob.
Oh,
well,
Jacob.
Sometimes Adam will play a set and then Jacob.
I got you. Okay, so he's earned his keep in the bunks. Yeah. All right, I'm going to let me make sure all your mics are working. Hit that guitar, will you, there, buddy? Yeah, there you go. That is Adam on the guitar. Adam is mic number 3. You are mic number 4. I'm going to shut my mics off. What song are you going to sing?
We're going to sing Never Leave L.A., and it's on my new album.
All right, the new album is called This Is War, and again, you can see Emily tonight at Ruth Eckert Hall at the Murray Theater. Here we go. We will shut up and let you sing. There you go.
Instead of walking on the sidewalk, I'm going with the flow. Instead of metal and hard lines, there is heaven and earth. And baby, I still got bruises, but they don't seem to hurt. And I don't wanna waste another day. Have you got room? Suitcase, so baby, call me over, beg me to stay, and I'll never leave LA. Oh, maybe it's the sunshine or the tall palm trees. Maybe it's your light blue eyes that got me weak in the knees. baby, I don't need strong legs for just swimming in the sky. And if you're somewhere beside me, I seem to just stay high. And I don't want to waste another day. Have you got through the haze of the smog, and the smoke is a pink sunset. And tattooed on my body is our winning bet. And as the city sky darkens, I'm headed to your house. If there is such thing as true love, we got it all figured out. And I don't wanna waste another day. Have you got room for my suitcase? So baby, call me over. Beg me to stay and I'll never leave LA. Leave LA. Never leave LA.
Very nice. Emily Kinney. I gotta be honest with you, that was a really good song.
Oh, thank you.
I was like, all right, we'll have the Walking Dead chick on if her music sucks. At least we got her on. That was a really good song.
Oh, thank you.
Do you write all that?
I do write all my songs.
Oh, who'd you write? You got a boyfriend? Who'd you write that about?
I didn't write that about a boyfriend. I was hoping
hot girlfriend
would be girlfriend. I was writing. No, I was hoping someone would be my boyfriend, and I could just move. Like, this was before I had moved to LA, and I was like, oh, I know. We'll fall in love, and then I'll just move in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't quite happen like that, but you know, maybe some soon.
I gotta be honest. Well, we have a lot of guys. A majority of guys perform music in the studio. And we never know where to look because it's just kind of weird if you're a dude and we're staring at you while you're singing.
Oh, yeah.
And then I figured, we got a good looking girl singing. I'll stare at her. And then I tried for a second. And I was like, I don't want to fall in love. And I turned my head the other way. Oh, wow. I looked the other way. That was very good. It was a very good
Thank
song.
You, so much.
You sing very well. And you can see Emily Kinney tonight. Emily Kinney Music. The album is called This Is War. Get it. And it was great having you on today. Thank you all for getting up early and hanging out here.
Yes, thanks.
Have fun tonight.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Almerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.